Before I left last week, I knew what I had to preach today. Mr. Armstrong came to the altar, and I don't want to embarrass him, but he said, "I don't know how to pray." And I thought to myself, "None of us know how to pray." But what is prayer? And so I prayed, and God, He blessed me throughout this week. We haven't seen anybody come and pray to get saved at Enos Chapel, but every day after waking up, and I told him I would be praying for him, and I am. But no matter how many prayers I pray for you or anybody else that's here, you can pray. I want you to know that. You can pray. But even the disciples, they came to the Lord one day and they said, "Lord," evidently John the Baptist, he could pray. There's not a lot about what he prayed or how he prayed, but evidently he could pray. Because you see, John's disciples, they must have been praying people too. And one day Jesus' disciples said, "Would you come and teach us how to pray like John's disciples prayed?" So there must be something about this. Can someone actually be taught to pray? I want to affirm that you can be taught. But the effectual fervent prayer of a person has become deep within. I read a devotion today, and when I read that devotion, Rhonda and I, we discussed it. This morning, we didn't fully agree with everything in the devotion, but there was one sentence in that devotion today that said, "Prayer is simply an honest conversation with God." Did you hear what I said? Prayer is an honest conversation with God. Now, it's hard to be honest sometimes even with ourselves, but you have got to be honest with God. And I added this, prayer is simply an honest conversation with God concerning the thoughts and the intents of your heart and your soul. That's what prayer is. It's communicating with God. Now, it's real easy to communicate and tell people what's on your mind and what's on your heart. A lot of people say, "Well, let me give you a piece of my mind." They'll tell you what's on their mind, you see. That's only half of prayer. You see, God talks back. Brother Ron and I, we've been singing that song for a long, long time. I can feel the sun. You know why? God is real. But in the 11th chapter of the book of Luke, I don't purpose to be too long today, and I know this may seem very elementary, but you know what? This is what God laid upon my heart. Lord, teach us to pray. In verse 1 of the 11th chapter of the book of Luke, Luke chapter 11, verse 1. Lord, help me today, please. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, you see, Jesus prayed too. Why would Jesus have to pray? He's God. There's got to be a connection there, isn't there? You see, there's a throne room right now. I believe that with all my heart. We can't reach that throne room. We can on our own. But with the Holy Spirit and Jesus Christ, He knows where it's at. Not only does He know where it's at, He's sitting right at the right hand of the Father interceding on our behalf right now. And when we pray, He said, Jesus, when He prayed, He said, when He sees, one of His disciples said, "Lord, teach us to pray." As John also taught his disciples. Whatever John taught them, it must have been pretty good. It was so good that one day John saw Jesus coming, and he said, "Look, behold the Lamb of God was taken away. Still does today. And he said unto them, when you pray, and I know I gave Matthew's version, I believe, this last week, but this is the way God wants me to go. He said, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done as in heaven, so in earth. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us not our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And he said unto them, Which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine is on a journey, and has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. Let me tell you, when you go to the Lord in prayer, we don't have a thing we can offer to him. The Bible says he owns it all, and I know that to be true in my heart. He owns it all. And we don't have anything that we can give, so before you can even get a prayer group, you have to understand that we're totally depraved. We have nothing to offer God. So he goes on to say, And he from within shall answer and say, Trouble me not, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed, and I cannot rise and give thee. He said, I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. Now what does that word importunity mean? It means that he's going to urge. If you really want to get a prayer, there has to be an urgency. What is urgent for you today? Not only does that word mean to urge, it means to beg. Now, you see, all of us, how many of you are saved by God's grace? How many of you know that you're saved by God's grace? I want to say something about every one of us that raised our hand. You know we're beggars. And you know what beggars do? They share. They share. They may not have much to share, but they share. And you know what evangelism is? It's one beggar telling another beggar where to buy bread. You know what? You can buy the same bread that I buy. You know how you do that? Pray. How do you pray? You ask God to help you. You see that it is urgent. And if there's a soul that was here today and couldn't raise their hand to go, and I saw your hands, but more importantly, God saw that. It doesn't matter whether I saw it or didn't see it. What matters is this is between you and God. It's got to be urgent. You want to get this thing settled. And I'll tell you, when you get it settled, there will be a peace that comes over you that I cannot explain. You'll feel the tug. Not only will you feel the tug, you'll know the tug without anybody saying anything else to you. A lot of people say, well, your prayers. He hears the urgency. He hears the trouble. And when you are in trouble, you've got to be persistent in order to get out of trouble. That's how you pray. You pray until you pray your way out of trouble. I used to sing a song years ago. I prayed my way out of trouble. Every time I've been in trouble, I've had to pray my way out of trouble. You say, how do you do that? You totally rely on God. God, please help me. Please help me. And you can't do it boastfully. You can't do it proudly. You can't say because I've done this or I've done that. You can't even say, well, I've been this way or I've been that way. You know what? A lot of people can't pray because they're letting something or someone stand in the way of praying. It can be something you did or something you didn't do. Something that you thought you should have done. Something that you thought you did. Maybe you didn't even do it. But somebody else thinks you did. Or maybe it was just the situation you were put in. I'm going to talk about that in a minute. But listen to what Jesus said. I say unto you, this is Jesus. He said, ask. Why are you not saved? Maybe you're not asking in the right way. Why are you saved? Because you ask in the right way. With a broken heart, a crushed spirit, a contrite spirit, you realize that there's nothing, I don't know what else to do. When you get then you're starting to pray. That instant, Jesus had asked. This is from Jesus. This is not from Brother Ron. This is from the Word of God. He said, ask. It shall be given unto you. But you ask, and I said, Brother Ron, I've asked many times. You know what? What you need to do is just keep seeking. Seek until you find your answer. He says, seek and it shall be given. Seek and you shall find. He said, knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth. He that seeketh findeth, and he that knocketh it shall be opened. And if a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will you give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will you the fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will you give him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, and we all are, that's one thing you've got to recognize. People that think they're pretty good, you're not going to get a prayer through. People that are evil, you're getting to a point where you can get a prayer through. You say, well, I'm the biggest sinner there ever was. The Apostle Paul said this to a faithful saying worthy of all acceptation. He said that Jesus Christ came to save sinners of whom I am chief. Now, if he said that, then listen to what the rest of the Word says. He says, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask of Him? If you want to get a prayer through, you just plead to the Holy Spirit, Lord, give me the words to say from the depths of my heart that I may be able to call upon you. Now, I told you a few moments ago that maybe there's some situations or things that are getting in your way. You know what? Hannah was just like that. I want you to turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 1, and I want to show you a little bit more about prayer and how God can teach us to pray if we'll follow the pattern. There's always been a pattern of prayer. Now, there was a certain man of Ramah-im-Zophim of Mount Ephraim, and the name was Elkanah, the son of Jeroham, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zoph, and the Ephraimite. Anybody want to take that verse of Scripture, stand up and use that as a memory verse? Had you ever heard that as a memory verse? Me neither. But he had two wives. The name of the one was Hannah. The name of the other was Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. Now, there's already a situation here that this man, he's got, I don't know how he has two wives. I don't know how he can take care of two wives, but he's got two wives. So he's already got a mess on his hands. Because, you see, God only wanted to have one wife at a time, and one wife is what he gave Eve to Adam, and that's the way it was from the very beginning, and that's the way it's supposed to be. But for whatever reason, they allowed polygamy to take place back then. So he's got these two women. One of them, she's having children left and right. Peninnah, she's having children. Hannah, she's not having any children. And this man went up in the city early and worshipped to sacrifice to the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. And it says, and when the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave to Peninnah his wife and all her sons and her daughters portions. But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah, but the Lord had shut up her womb. I want to ask you a question. Are you allowing opposition or oppositions to get in your way of prayer? You know that's what Hannah was doing? Hannah was praying to God and saying, you know what? And you're in a wonderful place right now. Hannah wasn't in a very good place. You know why? Because the other wife, and you'll just have to pardon the expression, but she was saying, nah, I got you, but you don't. And she meant it. I can just hear her sticking her tongue out of there. Look at me, I got all these boys, I got all these girls, Hannah, you ain't got nothing. How do you think that made Hannah feel? She had to feel horrible. Does that mean she couldn't pray through? No, I believe she can pray through too, but she's going to have to get some things straightened out, right? But you see, that's exactly what was happening. Look at what it says here. Her adversary, that's what it even calls her. Her adversary provoked her sore for to make her fret because the Lord had shut up her womb. And as he did so year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, she provoked her, therefore she wept, and she wouldn't even eat. Hannah wouldn't even eat. The reason I said you're in a good place today is because you're not going to have anybody make fun of you. You're not going to have anybody stand up and say, I got salvation. You don't. That's not the way it works. People that have salvation, what about you? And salvation. We want you to have the same thing that we've got in our heart. We're not going to provoke you. We're not going to tease you. You see, even though that sounds kind of childish, what I said a moment ago, what I'm talking about is not a childish thing. What I'm talking to you and pleading with you about has an eternal consequence. What we're talking to you about today is the eternal state of your soul. That's going to live in one of two places when you die. It's either going to heaven or it's going to hell. There is no in between. So what I'm getting ready to tell you in the rest of this message today is very serious. I want you to learn to pray. I want you to learn to pray better than me. You say, what do you mean, preacher? Sometimes I don't feel like I need a prayer no further than the top of my head. You say, well, you're a preacher. It's my responsibility. Brother Terry said he prayed for me. I feel like there's other people that have prayed for me. Just your presence today, it just fills my heart with so much love. Just because you're here today, whether you're saved, whether you're lost, whether you're confused, it doesn't matter. What matters is that I want you to be able to leave today knowing how to pray. If you're already a prayer warrior, I hope God will make you a better prayer warrior. If you're one that's struggling in your prayer life, if you're one that's never got a prayer through, one that has struggled and tried day in and day out, I want to assure you today, my God will allow you to talk to Him. All He said to do was ask. Seek Him. Knock. Oh God, please. Hear my prayer. And that's the way Hannah got. Evidently, people that came into the temple to pray, they didn't pray like Hannah did. Because it says that she wept. She did not eat. Then said it, Elkanah, her husband, her Hannah, why are you weeping? Why are you not eating? And why is your heart grieved? Am I not better to you than 10 sons? I want to ask you something. Is God not better to you than anyone that's ever been in your lifetime? You say, well, I'm not saved. I don't know God. And there's your proof. What do you mean, preacher? Well, He's allowed you to come here today. He's given you food to eat. He's given you air to breathe. We learned that in Sunday school today, and yet He's allowing you to live here long enough to get this thing right before you leave. Now that's pretty good. That's gracious. That's goodness. That's God. So Hannah rose up after they had eaten at Shiloh. And they had drunk. And now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by the post of the temple of the Lord. You want to pray? Here's a perfect example of how you need to pray. She was in bitterness of soul and prayed and wept until the Lord and wept sore. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the afflictions of my handmaid and remember me, and not forget thine handmaid, but will give thine handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. You see, when you pray and you have a born-again experience with God, I would dare say that just about every one of us that prayed that prayer through, we made and bargained with God, and we were willing to do anything if you just save me. Hannah was willing to give up what the Lord gave her. And I've heard people say that. Lord, I can't stand this anymore. If it takes you taking my life, just take it. Just save me first. Anybody here pray that prayer? And immediately, God saved. You're here today and you need to get that prayer through, then pray like that. You say, well, I don't know how to get myself to that condition. It says, when it came to pass as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart. You say, well, I don't know how to pray a pretty prayer. You don't have to. You've got to pray from the heart. When you pray from the heart. And when you pray from the heart, your mouth may be moving. You may not be saying a word. But God knows every thought and intent of your heart. And if there's something, if there's a woman or anything else or anybody else or even another wife that is getting in the way of you seeking and praying so that the Lord would deliver you so that you would have a born-again soul, plead with God. Ask Him. Ask Him to remove that from you. And this says this. Only her lips moved and her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunken. And Eli said unto her, how long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thine wine from me. Hannah answered and said, no, my Lord. I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have poured neither wine nor drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not thine handmaid for a daughter of Peleel, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hereto. Then Eli answered and said, how do you know when you get a prayer through? Do you know it's exactly the same for everybody? Eli said, go in peace. The very moment you feel the peace of God, it will just flood your soul. Many people, they explain it in different ways. All I know is it was so instantaneous the very first time I prayed through that I even said, is that it? I was expecting something else. But what it is peace. It's peace. Go in peace. And God of Israel grant thee thy petition thou hast asked of him. And she said, let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way, she did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. Now how do you know that she got a prayer for her? Before then she couldn't even eat. I've seen that happen where people that just they couldn't even eat because they just couldn't get a prayer for her. They couldn't sleep because they just couldn't get a prayer for her. I'm going to tell you, Eli didn't say go and eat and sleep. No, but she knew. You know why? She knew because she had peace in her heart. She knew she got a prayer through. God will let you know when you get your prayer through. You know what the biggest problem is with people not being able to get their prayer through? We do not want to relinquish control. You know what Jesus said? He put forth the parable. He said, there are people that trust within themselves. They trust in themselves and they just won't relinquish control. And I'm going to tell you, if you don't just give your control over to God, you're going to have a difficult time. I'm going to go on record saying, you're not going to get your prayer through until you just turn it over to God. I surrender all.
How do you get to that point? After Jesus said that there were people that trusted in themselves, he gave forth a parable. He said, two men went down in the temple to pray. This is in the 18th chapter of the book of Luke. He said, he went down to the temple to pray. One was a Pharisee, one was a publican. The publican was a tax collector, and nobody really liked him. In other words, he was a big sinner. He was the big sinner. You know why? Because he could go and he was to get the taxes for the Roman government, and anything he could get above and over his countrymen, that was what he could pocket himself. And in most cases, it was four times more than what he was supposed to even get. How do we know that? Ask Zacchaeus. But he said these two men went to pray, and one of them, the Pharisee, which is a very religious person, went to church. I guess he went to the synagogue all the time. But you know when he prayed, you know what he did? He looked at everybody else. He was like the other wife. The other wife just kept provoking Hannah. How many times do you let something else or someone else provoke you to where you just even feel angry inside? If you feel angry inside, you may even be angry at God. You say, preacher, you shouldn't say that. Be honest. Didn't I say that's what you have to be? You've got to be honest. If you're angry with God, just tell him you're angry at him. You say, I don't think God says, I didn't. God wants you to become honest with him. Because I want to tell you what he can do. He can take that anger that you have at him, and he can turn that around, because at least he knows he's got your attention. He can take that anger away. He can take all that bitterness away. And he'll fill you up with so much love. To where even those that you were angry at, even him, you'll love him. Why we love him? Because he first loved us. So the Pharisee kept looking at the others. I do this, I do this, I do that. I get tithes and everything. And you know what? He said, I'm even better than that publican over there. Publican wouldn't even lift up his eyes so much into heaven. You talk about pretty prayer. He wouldn't even go up to the temple. He went away. Some people say, well, I'm not going to go to church. There's too many hypocrites. Maybe you just need to come in and listen to the voice of God who says, let's do this correctly today. Now. So he went away, wouldn't even look up to heaven, but he just spoke upon his breast. And this was his prayer. God, be merciful to me. I want you to please be merciful. Not that you clean up all those other sinners, then why get clean up me? No, it doesn't work that way. It's between you and God. It's between me and God. And when it comes down to it, Jesus said, if you want to get a prayer through, this is what he said. You're going to have to humble yourself. Become a base. And when you humble yourself, then you get into the condition where you can pray. And you can let the Lord teach you how to pray to me. Lord, be merciful. Jesus said that man went down back to his house justified rather than the other. Because he humbled himself. Now I'm paraphrasing. He said, if you're going to build yourself up, you're going to fall. And great will be the fall. But if you humble yourself inside of God, he'll let you up. That's what prayer is. It's getting that prayer. Getting that prayer, and none of us can do it of our own. We have to let that tug pull at our heart. Maybe it was oversimplification, maybe. But I pray that I've said something that will help you to understand that you can pray. You should pray. And when you learn to pray, God, I'll tell you what, why do we pray? Why do we pray? Because we want something. I've got all I need. But when we pray, he wants you to ask for those things, but you know what else he wants? He wants you to be grateful. you. Thank you, Lord, for what you do today. I didn't do this. I didn't ask for a team to come. Well, sir, I just said come sometime. God told me to come today. Why are you here today?
Sure, but it's not to hear me.
Because if you come to hear me, I'm going to let you know. But if you come to worship God, then start with prayer. Start by saying, Lord. And you may be here sitting and saying today, I didn't raise my hand, but that's not because I'm not saved. Or I'm not here to say whether you raised your hand or whether you didn't. What I'm saying is this is between you and God. And you're the one that knows whether you are or whether you're not. And I just want to say thank you for coming, because if you're not, you've got an opportunity today to get right with God. And if you're worried about what somebody else is going to say or what somebody else is going to, nobody here is going to provoke you to that. Nobody's going to make fun of you. We that have been saved know exactly what you're going through. He said, I've been going a long time. I went 9 years, so you can't use that. You say, well, I've been going long. Well, I've seen men. I watched a man that was 58 years old come from Kentucky to come to Indianapolis to go to the church where Brother Ben's preaching today. When I was in the Bible, he came all the way to prepare to memorial. But when I was helping Brother Moran, that man was sitting in the back of the church. And his neighbor lady took him from Indianapolis to Kentucky so that he could hear the gospel, because he says, I'm lost and I need to get saved. He got saved in that revival and went back and joined the Bethel Church. And just a few years later, he passed away. He was 58 years old. So don't tell me age death got you before you can't pray, because that's not. And I even left off a couple of verses that I'm going to read in that 11th chapter of Luke. Read the next two, because you see, these infants started coming. I'm telling you, Jesus is for all of them. They started bringing the infants to him. And the disciples were saying, they were rebuked and said, don't let those children bother the master. I'm going to tell you, you're not going to bother the master. You're going to bother the master by not coming to him when he says, come to me. Suffer those little children for such a kid. If you're here today, you're lost. He said, this is Sunday. This is the day that the Lord has made for you to have an opportunity to pray one prayer. That's all I'm asking for everybody here today. You say, well, I'm saved. I don't need to come and pray. Yes, you do. All of us have to have a little talk with Jesus. If you haven't had a little talk with Jesus today, you say, well, I'm already in church. Have your little talk with Jesus, even if it's at church. I hope you had it before you came. But if you hadn't, we're going to have a little talk with Jesus. And if you're here today, or you've never been saved, or you've never gotten that prayer, or you've prayed many a prayer, why don't you try it one more time? And if you will, ask and speak and knock with all your heart. I believe with all my heart that He'll answer that. And when He does, react to whatever that is. React to that. Feel after it, but you know how close Jimmy can stand the same. 111. Anybody here that needs to come and pray, whether you're saved or whether you're unsaved, church, it's our duty, obligation, and privilege to pray for those, even if they don't come. We need to pray. So as we stand and sing, we're going to have a season of prayer. If you want to come and pray, hear the song. After the song, we'll all bow around and pray. But again, what for you be taught to pray, the Lord's going to have to teach you. Thank you so much for coming today. Please don't turn away if you still reach your heart. Also,
oh, Jesus, I surrender. Oh, you win my freely. I will ever love and trust in you.
I'm doing this because I saw some hands that didn't go up today. And I want to ask the church and I remember it that we pray for them. You don't have to know who they are. I don't know who they are. There's some hands that went up. Did not go up. And I want us, the church, to pray for them. I want them to see that we are concerned and that we'll do everything we can to point them to Jesus. And if you're saying this song, I surrender all. And you're not doing that right now, probably last verse. Because they're going to surrender all. Surrender all. So if we sang this last verse, I'd ask the church, thank the church, please come. Anybody else wants to come, you come too. Especially if you're lost, I want you to know that this church is praying for you. Because you did it first.
Oh, to Jesus I surrender.
Feel like we can even communicate with you. But
But God, you have that under control. You created us. You made us. And even in our imperfections, there's something about us. There's something deep within my soul that I know is most secure and sealed than tradition. I know I've loved you, Lord, multiple times, even throughout this week, and the compassion that you have for each one that's here. Lord, please bless our church. Bless every member that makes up this body. Bless our brothers, our sisters that have come to help us today. And bless those with salvation that are not saved. Bless the remainder of this service. May we come together in unity and one accord and worship the true God and one God who deserves it all. Thank you again for all that you do. And thank you for what you're going to do and what you have in store for us here. The ministry that we have. God, where there is no Jesus, people perish. We don't want anybody to make sure that they lost and perish. So God, whatever it's going to take, we need this person of power. Let that power come. Your omnipotent power. And Lord, may it be all of your love that would just come upon the hearts of every soul that's here today. Thank you again for the song that was sung, the specialist. Paul, thank you for everything you've done today. And may we give you glory and honor and praise. And as we come to the conclusion of this prayer, we pray that you taught all of us even better how to pray and to talk to you and listen and meditate upon those things that you entrusted us with. Thank you again. In Jesus' sweet holy name we pray. Amen.
Do you have a word, a testimony, anything on your heart this time?
Anybody else?
That'll be the church where I was at.
Joyce, appreciate that. Anybody else?
That song, the old country church on the hill. I was saved on top of the hill. Unless you made a deal with that Baptist Church there in 1949. And next year, the year after that, they celebrate their 100th wedding, 100th anniversary. My mother was one of the original members, and that day was an aunt and uncle and a grandmother. And I believe I'm going to live to see that.
Amen.
So enjoy it, actually. Thank you.
God bless you for the virtual. Thank you for sharing that with us.
I've got a picture there. Enjoy. Let us see, my first cousin approved of that. He drew it and painted it. A picture that does not do it justice. I'm going to bring that and show it to y'all.
Amen.
The best picture I've ever seen a man was doing. And he was just a common man. He was an outfielder. His name is Neil Dykes. Thank you for that.
God bless you, Brother Shoulders. Thank you for sharing that. Somebody else.
Good to be here today.
It is. Thank you, sister. I love her. She's my own. She really my only sister. Because I didn't have my sister. She's just been my sister. She's my sister in law, she's my sister. She's my sister in Christ. I mean, I am so blessed. I want us to come around and shake hands with each other before we say goodbye.